You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today we are speaking with Mr. Bobby Monks, a serial entrepreneur who has founded, led, and grown many businesses in the financial services, real estate, media, and technology sectors. Monks is the author of Uninvested, How Wall Street Hijacked Your Money, and How to Fight Back, which was published last year. He was previously chairman of Spinnaker Trust, managing over $1 billion in assets, chairman of Institutional Shareholder Services, the leading provider of corporate governance and proxy services, and founder and director of Atlantic Bank. He certainly has a resume. Mr. Monks, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for your time today. So you authored a book last year called Uninvested, as we mentioned earlier, about the pitfalls of relying on money managers for all of our finances and how we can take back control. For our listeners, if you would, that are unfamiliar with the book, can you give us a brief rundown of some of the key takeaways for the readers?
Well, I sure can, Eric. I think one of the things that I discovered, having had a lot of experience in the financial world as chairman of the companies that you just articulated, and also someone who has had private equity invest in companies that I've run and also invested through private equity as well as hedge funds, I have a pretty good understanding of what's happening in the market. And what I discovered was that the individual average investor is being systematically taken advantage of by the system. And so what we tried to do in the book was to, first of all, describe to the average investor what the system is like in order to demystify it, if you will. I think a lot of investors feel like that the system is overwhelming, that it's intimidating, and that they don't know how to approach it. So the first part of the book really is to break it down so that they understand, you know, what the system is. The second part of the book really has to do with how the average investor is taken advantage of by the financial area, and I think that we articulate really and sort of take investors through a variety of different investment types, for example, mutual funds, and show them actually what happens and how they're taken advantage of. And then the third part of the book really provide some better ways for the average investor to relate to the system.
Certainly sounds like a must read in all regards. Now, what are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about 401ks, and where's the knowledge gap, and how do we close that?
Well, I think if you look at 401ks, what people really don't understand is how many layers of fees people are actually charged, there's a layering of fees, and there is in some cases up to 19 different fees that are charged the employee of a particular company that has a 401k. And you know, those fees add up over time, and the system essentially evolved that way. I don't think it was designed that way. As you know, it's a defined benefit plan, and it was evolved really to be able to help employees invest and save money. But what's happened is financial intermediaries have gotten their hands in the investor's pocket on every different layer of investment process. So if you're a company, you hire an administrator, you pay them a fee, the administrator pays a manager a fee, and then the manager invests in a mutual fund and you pay fees for those. And so if you look at, for example, for someone who is an investor and say they have $25,000 in their 401k and they're charged an additional 1%, over 35 years with an average return of 7%, that's $65,000. So these fees that the various intermediaries charge are having an enormous impact on what people's retirement accounts end up being. I think the second issue with 401ks is something called revenue sharing. Revenue sharing is essentially a euphemism for a kickback. And so if you're someone who's in a 401k, you're given a menu of different types of investments or different things you can invest in, usually mutual funds or index funds or ETFs. And the question is, how do they get onto that menu? Well, what happens, and this is perfectly legal, is that the mutual fund who wants to get on the menu essentially pays the administrator to get on. And so the effect of that is that that menu is not designed for the average worker. It's really put on there because the administrator gets a kickback. And so I think there's those and other conflicts that the average investor and the average worker really need to look out for. And there are a lot of folks are starting to move towards self-directed IRAs and getting out of their 401ks, and I would highly recommend that as a process.
Certainly appreciate all the advice in all these regards. Today we're joined by Mr. Bobby Monks, the author of Uninvested, How Wall Street Hijacks Your Money and How to Fight Back, which was published last year here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, Mr. Monks, most people are afraid to invest because they think it's too complicated or it's an easy way to lose their money instead of make more money. What common pitfalls should beginner investors watch out for, and how can they avoid these?
Well, I think that there's so much advertising and marketing out there right now towards the average investor about how you can be part of the rock that projects a kind of definitiveness about money managers and their ability to be able to predict the future. And so one of the things that's really important to know is that nobody can predict the future. That at the end of the day, all investments you have a certain amount of risk associated with that. And that you need to go into it knowing that investing in the stock market, like any other investment, is a risky investment. And then I think the second biggest pitfall, and this again stems from the fact I think people are intimidated by the system, is that a lot of initial investors don't ask the right questions. And I think it's very, very important that if you're a beginning investor that you ask a couple of simple questions. And let me give you some examples of that. One is, do you have to put my best interest first? Many, many money managers don't have to do that. They don't have a legal requirement to do that, although that is changing now because of the DOL ruling for people who manage retirement accounts. But still, without retirement accounts, you still don't have to do that unless you're a registered investment advisor. And only 10% of the folks that are money managing are registered investment advisors. Another question that I think is very helpful to ask is do you invest in the same stocks that you're putting me in? And if you don't, why not? And another question that's important to ask are, what are my total fees? Not just the fees that you charge me as a manager, but what are the underlying fees that are part of the index fund or the ETF or the mutual fund that you're putting me in? And then another very good question to ask people is do I have to pay you if you don't make me any money? And if the answer is yes, I do have to pay you, why? Why should I pay you if you don't make me any money? And is there a different way to do it? And then the other thing that's important to many investors is, what are the stocks that I'm actually in? If you're invested in a mutual fund, it's incumbent upon you, with your money manager to tell you, well, what are those stocks, in case you're investing in a stock in a company that you don't agree with philosophically. And then another issue is, do you vote, my proxy? And if so, how do you vote it? And what's the criteria you use to make your decisions? So I think those asking questions is a really important thing. I also think there's this huge trend right now away from managed accounts towards collective accounts like mutual funds and index funds and ETFs. And I think you have to be careful of those because there are problems with those as well. And if you take the index fund, which I think goes a long way towards reducing fees, there are still undisclosed fees in index funds. For example, something called cash drag, which is money that's set aside in order to redeem people and also to invest in stocks and rebalance the account. There's also something called tax churn, which is the taxes that you have to pay even though you personally don't sell tax. And there are in fees that are not actually that you don't have to tell the investor. So index funds I think take some steps in reducing the fees, but they're still not a perfect answer. And the other big problem with index funds is that, you know, how do you choose which index fund to invest in? You know, you can, if you only want to invest in the S&P 500 and that's all you do, well, then you're fairly diversified, you're paying low fees, it's probably a good thing. But the minute you go to other index funds, then you have the problem, well, how do I choose which one? And they're very complicated to analyze. Almost no person can go through and look at all the stocks that a particular index fund is in. So then you have to essentially hire someone to tell you which index fund. And, of course, if you hire someone, you're paying an additional fee. So it defeats the purpose of an index fund. And I think that's true of ETFs and mutual funds as well. Mutual funds, I think, more than ETFs and index funds, tend to charge a great many fees, and often those fees aren't disclosed. So I think that's another area where I think as a beginning investor, you have to be careful of. And then, you know, one of the options in today's world, you know, the market is very complex and it's very hard to understand it. But it's still possible for individuals to pick stocks themselves and invest in individual stocks. There are pitfalls with that as well. People tend to panic when the market goes down and sell. But what you can do now is you can hire someone on a cost basis or an hourly basis to give you advice about setting up your portfolio and investing in individual stocks. And then when they've given you the advice, then you don't need to use them until you want to make a change in your stock. So you can still get access to a professional, but you can pay them on an hourly basis. And you can, you know, the big word on the street that someone will tell you is you have to be diversified, and therefore you need to invest in a mutual fund. Well, you can be diversified by investing in individual stocks. There are many multinational corporations that in and of themselves are hugely diversified. So those are some of the pitfalls I think you have to be careful if you're a beginning investor.
Lastly, why is independent money management particularly important for entrepreneurs, and how can entrepreneurs better manage their finances without letting Wall Street take control of that?
Well, I think, you know, entrepreneurs are a special category, and that is because they take a great deal of risk in their business life. And that creates special needs for developers, for entrepreneurs, in the sense that they don't want to have their savings in any kind of high risk venture because they're taking that risk in their day job. And they also, you know, entrepreneurs are intelligent to keep quite a bit of cash around or short-term bonds, or other very safe instruments because, having started over 22 companies, there's always times when you need cash, and you had to be prepared for that. And I think there are money managers that can work directly with entrepreneurs that can help them hedge their risks so that they're not exposed both at their workplace also and in their investments. And then I think you should be involved with a money manager that not only manages your money but also helps you raise capital for you when you need investments in your company. One of the most important things to remember as an entrepreneur is there's lots of money in the world, but there are not lots of good deals in the world. So if you're an entrepreneur and you believe in your company, you have the upper hand. People are looking for deals right now, and you should remember that in terms of who you pick as a money manager, and make sure that if you need to raise capital in the future, that they can help you with that process.
Well, Mr. Monks, we certainly appreciate your time and all the valuable information shared here today. Where can listeners get more information about you, your book, and where can listeners also be in touch with you as well?
They can go onto my website, which is bobbymonks.com, or they can go on my web. You can also access my website through uninvestedthebook.com.
Easy enough. And once again, Mr. Monks, thanks for your time and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Have a great day.
My pleasure. You have a great day as well.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Mr. Bobby Monks, the author of Uninvested, How Wall Street Hijacked Your Money and How to Fight Back, which was published last year in 2015. And for more information, simply visit either bobbymonks.com or uninvestedthebook.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.